May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our Redeemer. Amen. Do please be seated. Our Gospel reading this morning begins with the account of Jesus calling Matthew to follow him. Now, I don't know any of your stories about how you might have been called to follow Jesus, whether you're just beginning to explore what faith in Jesus means, or have been a lifelong Christian since you were a small child, or whether you had a dramatic experience of God's grace that led to a huge change in your life and meant you going in a completely different direction. Faith should have a huge impact on our lives, and your stories will all be different, but equally important. They will affect how we feel and behave, and ultimately shape the way we are as people. I'd like to talk this morning about two dramatic stories of conversion that led to huge changes in two people and how they experienced God's grace at work in their lives. As you hear their stories, see if you can recognize the ways in which grace changed them and ultimately how they interacted with others. The first story is about Matthew. His job was collecting taxes on such things as the transportation of goods. People in general despised him and had their reasons for doing so. He was seen as a collaborator, a stooge for the Roman Empire that dominated the Holy Land. He was a living reminder to his neighbours of their heavy tax burden. Jews were forced to pay both civil and religious taxes. Worst of all, it was widely known that many in Matthew's position were out and out cheats. In both the popular mind and in religious writings, they were lumped together with thieves, murderers, and other wholesale sinners. Tax collection appeared on the lists of despised occupations that no practicing Jew should follow. People like Matthew were regarded as lost souls. Then one day, as Matthew is working at the tax booth, grace enters his life in the person of Jesus. Jesus doesn't ignore or condemn him or otherwise treat him as he was accustomed to be treated by so many others. What Jesus does is invite him. Follow me, is what Jesus says. Matthew is astounded, yet he leaves the tax booth behind and follows Jesus. He's unaware of what he's getting himself into. Matthew follows Jesus. He experiences grace. His conversion begins as he turns his back on his old life and follow someone who gives him all he needs to be free. Matthew follows Jesus and follows him and follows him. He walks with him along dusty roads and however unfaithfully through the events of Holy Week. Yet still Jesus calls and still Matthew follows. Grace remained in the air, even stronger than before. Matthew becomes a witness to the resurrection. He becomes responsible for the book that bears his name, the Gospel according to Matthew. Cheat, collaborator, greedy, shameful. That's how people saw Matthew as he took in money dishonestly, unjustly, there in his little booth. But one day, grace knocked on the door and he was converted, turned around and was changed. The change was manifold. Converted to God, the Lord of mercy. Converted to Jesus, who loves the unworthy. Converted to the church, those early Christians that he served and us. And even converted to the world. For Matthew, the sometime cheat, whose heart was once as hard as the silver coins he handled, records the words of Jesus later in his gospel. Whatever you did to the least of my people, you did to me. Now, a more recent story. Hank Hayes' life started badly. He was brought up in an atmosphere of hate. Hank's dad was a member of the Ku Klux Klan, and not just any Klansman, but Imperial Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. Hank followed in his father's footsteps and became a Klansman, full of hate himself. When a black man was lynched, Hank was a prime suspect and eventually was convicted of murder. The main witness was a man who received a lenient sentence in return for his testimony, although he later admitted that he'd both lied and committed perjury. The jury set the sentence as life without parole, but the judge overruled them and sentenced Hank to death. The governor of Alabama refused to intervene, even when somebody came forward saying that Hank was with him the night of the murder, far from the scene of the crime. And so Hank spent 7 years on death row until all his appeals were exhausted and he was put to death in the electric chair. But Hank's death is not the important thing about his story. It is his life in prison that changed him. This is where he received God's grace that transformed this Klansman into someone completely different. God's grace came to Hank Hayes from several unexpected directions. When he first arrived on death row, he and the guards were worried about how black inmates would react to him. But two of the black leaders escorted him around. "The state's trying to kill us all," said one of them, a man named Jesse Morrison. "We haven't got time to hate." During his death row stay, Hank was adopted by a parish church here in England. He grew to love them, and they him. As a result, he became interested in Christianity. And after considerable reflection, he decided to become an Episcopalian. But he hesitated because he was afraid that God would reject him because of his Klan background. But George Jones, an Episcopalian layman involved in prison ministry, assured Hank that God forgave him. And after preparation, where Hank showed himself to be an outstanding student, the Bishop of Alabama confirmed him there on death row. Now, some prisoners become adept at conning people, even chaplains and prison officials. But Hank's conversion was no con. Grace was real in his life, and it was real at the moment of his death. When the final day came and they strapped him into the electric chair, the warden asked him if he had any last words. What would somebody do in that situation? What might you do at that time? Cry out in agony, complain he'd been wrongly convicted, perhaps, or curse those who were preparing to kill him? No. Hank smiled and spoke a word of grace. "I love you, is what he said, first to his executioners, then to the victim's family and his friends in the viewing gallery. Once a Klansman full of hate, Hank had changed. Grace had transformed him. He showed those around that he had changed, that God and Jesus had had a huge effect on his life and turned it around. Death Row in Alabama, the tax booth of a dishonest collaborator. Unlikely places for scenes of grace. But grace happens there to people like Matthew, Hank Hayes, and us. If grace touches characters like them, can the rest of us be immune? How is God's grace appearing in your life? Consider your conversion to God, whether it was a gradual, lifelong process or an amazing conversion story. Consider that, the call to follow Christ, to be involved in the church, to serve in the community and in the world for which Christ died. In what ways are you being turned around to face in the right direction, to follow Christ? Welcome grace when it comes today in the form of bread and wine, or in the words of a neighbour or friend or a stranger. Then look for grace to appear to you again and again in strange and funny ways and through the most unlikeliest of people, like Hank and Matthew. And give thanks whenever grace breaks into your life. Amen.